A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World Title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for 10 pounds of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from the Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swerp Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How are you on this fine Wednesday day?
I'm good. I have talked so hard, though.
Oh, you have been businessing up the wazoo today.
I have been on phone call after phone call.
Oh.
And Wrestle Ramble as well. That's talking.
It is talking. It's an hour's worth of talking, more or less.
So my lady partner went to a conference thing recently where there was a guy who was from RADA, the famous acting school in London. And he was effectively delivering a presentation about how to speak properly, and how what a lot of people do is they speak from their throat. That's terrible for your voice, especially if your profession is speaking, radio personalities and whatnot, because that will shred your vocal cords and you might get throat cancer. Like, worst case scenario, 40 years doing that, 3 hours a day, it's bad for you.
Absolutely.
And of course, this puts the fear of God in my lady partner. And this just happened to be around the same time I got a cold last week. So she's like, well, you need to go to these classes. But now I can't stop thinking about it. My mouth feels sore.
Where else are you going to talk from?
Your stomach. You talk from your stomach. Have you never heard Rock talk about breathing?
I mean, I've heard many people talk about breathing. I don't think I've heard The Rock specifically talk about breathing.
Well, he says pretty much the same thing that everyone else says. But I first remember hearing it from The Rock. He breathes from the stomach. Because, you know, when you watch him sell on the ground, it's not like his chest isn't going up and down. He's properly panting from his stomach.
Mm.
Looks great.
Yeah.
Really get those Jesus abs when you go, when you get that tight thing.
Yeah, I mean, they tell you to do that when you're doing yoga and things like that, that you should breathe through your stomach and, and all that sort of nonsense, all that jargon.
So if I speak from where I'm comfortable speaking from, I'd say maybe this is a bit above. This is me speaking from my throat, or almost this. I think that's why my voice is quite nasal. However, I'm going to bring it down. Okay, I'm speaking from the stomach.
How does one speak from the stomach? It just seems like such an abstract term.
One speaks from the stomach like this.
No, they don't.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk News.
Yeah, I think this is a goer.
Well, this is it now. We're in a new era. So,
are we?
Well, I mean, we've got past 500K days.
Oh, so okay. Oh, right. I mean, that was. I thought you were alluding to Backlash. Oh, no. Now Backlash is out of the way. We can do loads of things.
We can start new storylines and things that actually matter, which obviously we'll talk about in the SmackDown review. Nice little segue there. But before we get there, would you like some Wrestle Talk Get Better?
Yes!
Oh, well, we've...
This is unexpectedly heartwarming.
We've got a couple of Wrestle Talk Get Betters. This first one from Robert Stanley. Luke, I listened to the podcast this morning and I too have been looking to get into shape and just started exercising. I'm totally in for being part of the Wrestle Talk Get Better, as accountability is key. I'm 5 feet 9 inches and weigh 230 pounds. I have quite a gut. I'm with you and Ollie all the way. Your podcast and news updates get me through my working day. I wish you and Ollie all the best. Robbie Stanley, P.S. Generic compliment to Ollie.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, well, he's saying so. Will from...
Can more people sign off with that, please?
This one here from... No, that's a different one. That's a Pledge Hammer question for the mailbag. Jumping the Smark, or Jumping T Smark. We've heard him on the podcast before. Hey, Luke and Ollie. Just wanted to say I love this concept and I'm comfortable sharing my feelings on my body. I used to be on medication for depression that would also wind up limiting my appetite, causing me to be very skinny. 2 years ago, I was eased off with the help of a doctor because I didn't like my low appetite. However, what I realized is that because I was eating so little and because of the meds, my metabolism kind of went down the drain. I gained weight pretty rapidly, and it took me a little while to realize that. In the 11 months since then, I worked out a fair bit and my metabolism is about average. However, I have trouble starting a diet. I'm currently 26% body fat and I am aiming for 12% by 2020. Please remind me every podcast and video to stick to my diet. Not joking, please do that. Thank you from Jumping T Smark.
Wow. I now feel a crushing sense of responsibility to these people. Well, this is lovely, though. This is fantastic.
Yes.
I think... So people have... I mean, there's bloody laws about how we're not allowed to keep information. I was just about to propose... Well, we should, you know, create some form of leader chart with the body
fats.
All right,
Cambridge Analytica.
I know, yeah, exactly. I don't want to fall into that. I don't want to influence people's votes because I know how... how tall they are.
We've got one more here, and then we've got a bit of correspondence in the outro.
Sure.
Do you remember that iTunes review that we read out yesterday with the lad and his classmates?
Mate, yes, I do.
He sent a follow-up email.
No.
We'll read that in the outro. But first, here from Wrestle Talk Get Better, Josh Hodges writes, "Hey, Luke, I look forward to hearing about your journey into the fitness world. Well, I went for a run today, and it was very hot and sweaty."
It was sweaty. Luke was like a big Cass walking through the door when I let him in.
It was not a good look. It's not my best look.
It looked like you were melting.
Well, I felt like I was melting, yeah. I'll be honest. 2 years ago, I lost my granddad, and following this in the last 2 years, I've gained 58 kilograms total. That's 9 stone, or 126 pounds. I think that's all converted correctly. And 2 weeks ago, I ran the London Marathon as a culmination of my efforts with the Wrestle Ramble podcast in my ears for all 5 hours. I've also been going to the gym for
that's
the last
torture.
Year and enjoying the weightlifting and accessory work. Keep up the excellent rambling. By far my favourite podcast to listen to throughout the week. And that's from Josh. And he sent a little kiss on the end of that message as well. And he also sent us a picture of a before and after of what he looked like. I'm just going to turn my laptop around so you can see Josh
Good
there.
Grief,
before
Josh.
And after. Look at the great shape he is in now.
Josh, I'm going to... Okay, so this is the ultimate accolade someone from Wrestle Talk Get Better can get. This is the equivalent of the Paul Hollywood handshake on Great British Bake Off. Josh, I'm hard for Josh. Well done, my friend. That is superb.
Absolutely.
Really well done. That is really quite something.
And there you go. That's a bit of motivation for you ahead of your marathon in 9.5 months' time.
Yes. Well, I did a 5K yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did 5K.
I was going to say...
It was on a treadmill, though. It was in controlled conditions.
Yeah. 5K sounds like a lot. Because, like, all these NHS things are about, like, the couch to 5K. So it sounds like that's a real big target to hit.
But for the lowest common denominator, yeah.
You're just like, yeah, I'll just run a 5K, mate. I've not been on a treadmill for 20 years, but I just ran one.
Well, for literally anybody, a 5K is an attainable aim. I should be able to do more than 5K because I'm not off the couch. There's an out-the-box solution for someone. You want to go from the couch. Here you go. I haven't been on the couch for a while.
No.
I should be way beyond where I am. But yes, 5K does sound a lot, but not in the larger, crushing number of 42.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I could do 5K just yet. Mm. Yeah, I am certainly in that couch to 5K mode.
Well, you could walk it. You could definitely do... You walked 6 miles. You did a quarter of a marathon.
Yeah, it was 10 miles, thank you very much.
Well, you did half a marathon.
Yeah, exactly.
In walking.
And it took us a long time, and I was very tired by the end of it. But
as
anyway,
you would be.
As you would be. But shall we get on with the show? Because I want to do this iTunes follow-up email. And I believe there might be some spoon chatter.
And after months of us all saying Rusev behind Rusev Day, chanting Rusev Day in matches that Rusev Day are not even in, WWE finally go, hold my beer. And they put Rusev over. Finally, he's going to the Money in the Bank ladder match representing SmackDown. And it comes at the expense of Daniel Bryan, our most beloved other person. So, it's not all brilliant. But I must say, I'm not down on this angle.
No, so this is a really interesting story that SmackDown are currently running with. Which is, they're redoing the Daniel Bryan Cinderella story of, like, he's the little engine that could. He may be little, he may be small, but by golly, he's got heart and he can overcome the big baddies at the end. And I think that is fine, apart from the fact he's already overcome the big baddie. He did that on Sunday. So this just felt like a really... I was genuinely surprised when Bryan took the pinfall.
Oh, yeah.
It's like really, really surprised that he took the pin.
I yelped. I yelped this morning. I did not see that coming. When we're writing notes, we sometimes, rather than write Daniel Bryan versus Rusev as that little section header, sometimes I might make a bold prediction and say that Heath Slater and Rhino are going to lose to the Authors of Pain.
Yes.
So I'll already write, Authors of Pain beat Heath Slater and Rhino. I haven't been wrong yet for that. Here, I must confess, I put Daniel Bryan beats Rusev.
Well, you and I talked about on the podcast outro yesterday, where we were talking about doing like a little mini SmackDown preview. And we sort of like gave our predictions. And, well, I say predictions, we sort of said what we think might happen. And I was like, oh yeah, I could definitely see them putting Miz and Bryan into the Money in the Bank. And then you can have that stare down moment to build towards a SummerSlam match between the two. So then they were in separate matches. And then when Miz won earlier in the night, I was like, ah, yeah, I think that's where they probably are going. And then Daniel Bryan lost. And the commentators were really hardcore putting over this idea that Daniel Bryan is a Cinderella story. He's faced adversity. He's finally made his way back to the main roster. And, he's just lost. You know, it's always so close, but never quite there. And also, I was like, yeah, but he won on Sunday. So, like, this doesn't really make any sense. Not only that, I was thinking about this. I didn't mention this in my review because there was so much other stuff really to talk about. But it also harms the Rusev Day story a little bit as well. Because last week, Lana's whole deal was, hey, do you know what? You could be so much better, but something is holding you back, referring to Aiden English. And then yet here he is this week, with Aiden English at his side, winning. So apparently Aiden English isn't holding him back at all, because he's winning now.
Yeah, not just winning a throwaway match either. He's winning a match with quite huge stakes. He's now in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I'm intrigued. Like, it wasn't like this show ended and I was infuriated.
No.
Oh, what? They're ruining Brian's character. I was more like, huh, that's really interesting. He sold a lot during the match as well. He sold his ribs. The commentators were putting over that Big Cass really has affected Brian with that post-match beatdown at Backlash on Sunday, just two nights beforehand. And that might be why he's lost a step and he can't get the win. But the problem with that is that it wasn't that big a beatdown.
No.
And it's something that, who was it that did it much better? Was it Seth Rollins, where he tried to get someone up for the Falcon Arrow? That was the Miz match at Backlash.
Yes.
Where Seth Rollins was selling his knee really, really well. He tries to get Miz up for the Falcon Arrow, and then he collapses. And he can't hit his own move. Daniel Bryan really didn't have any moments like that in this match to really get over. If anything, Rusev was selling his arm more.
His wrist, because he couldn't lock in the accolade because it hurt his wrist too much.
Which is another thing that I thought, oh, at least Rusev is working that into the match. So when he loses, he's almost got an excuse. But that isn't what happened. Bryan won. And it just like you said, it's a really cool story in this moment. But the build-up and the context leading into it doesn't suit that story.
No.
And it doesn't work. It couldn't have played better for WWE because the Baltimore crowd were excellent all night. They were super into Daniel Bryan. So you get this wonderful image to close the show. It must have been exactly what they dreamt up in their heads when they were visualizing this storyline. Bryan is sitting broken, dejected on the ring apron, and the crowd are all chanting for Daniel Bryan. Bryan looks sad, and the commentators are saying, is this the end of the Cinderella story, the comeback for Daniel Bryan? It was a really good visual and closing cliffhanger.
Yeah.
But that they got lucky, really.
Yeah, more or less, yeah. I mean, as I said, like, I think it's an interesting angle to take Bryan in a sense. I mean, the only reason I kind of like retracted on saying it was interesting earlier is because, I mean, they've already done it once. So it's probably less interesting the second time round. But it's interesting in a sense that this is the direction that they are going to go with him. But it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the bigger picture of things, because everything since his comeback hasn't really been building to this character. It's just like, oh, hey, this is what we're going to do with Daniel Bryan this week. He's now the underdog and he can't beat big guys. Like, that's the storyline we're now telling. They just changed their mind since Sunday.
And he's really injured after a 7-minute match that he won.
That he won.
And a single big boot beatdown?
Yeah.
And something like that.
And not only won decisively by making Cass tap out within literal seconds of putting him in the move. Mm. You know, he was David versus Goliath in that role. And the yes lock was the pebble.
And the other problem here is that we're being super down on this. We didn't hate it this much, but it's full of problems.
Yeah.
Is that Daniel Bryan, arguably, I believe, got over in spite of the underdog I'm losing all the time booking.
They forget that.
It wasn't the way WWE booked him that got him over. It was Daniel Bryan that got himself over.
No, mate, did you not hear that interview with Road Dogg with JBL? That was what they always intended. They wanted to beat him all the time because that would build to that WrestleMania 30 moment. You bunch of marks, you just don't understand their genius thinking of that really long-term booking of always having Bryan lose because he was over.
It was that genius. Oh, he's going to lose in 8 seconds to Sheamus. There we go. That was what really set him on this path.
If we just have him lose to Randy Orton one more time, that's what will really get him over.
Yeah, and it's something they tried to replicate with Sami Zayn. That did not work. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to see the... But there is an interesting story to tell here, that Bryan has come back from injury and maybe he has lost a step. He's been out for 3 years. It would have made more sense for him to, like you said, show this side to his character in the month so far, because he's been very competent. He's gone toe-to-toe with AJ Styles.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Like you said, beat Big Cass quite handily. And now it's all catching up with him. Oh, I guess you can kind of tell that, like, it was adrenaline.
He was also the Iron Man in the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yes, oh my God!
He went from number one through to, like, he was the third person out at the end.
75 minutes or whatever it was. A Royal Rumble record.
But always lost a step. If he hadn't...
I don't know. If he's got what it takes, there's nothing to back up how good he is here.
Yeah. It's an interesting story. They just... I don't know, man. They just chose the wrong time to start telling it.
Yeah.
The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This episode of the Wrestle Ramble is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you will get access to Wrestle Ramble Extra, a monthly podcast where Ollie and I review pay-per-views from wrestling's past. The poll for this month's show is now open and includes Judgment Day 2000, 2001 and 2009, WCW Slamboree 2000, TNA Sacrifice 2009, ROH and New Japan's War of the Worlds 2015 and more. We'll announce announce the winner of that poll next week, so head over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk to get involved. That's patreon.com/WrestleTalk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a SmackDown review, Magal. I love it. We got us a flying Uso.
Paige here. And she is now every other authority figure you've ever heard open a WWE show in the last year.
She has become SmackDown's Kurt Angle.
Ugh.
She came out here to recap Backlash. And then announce the matches that we've got. Oh, she didn't even announce the matches we've got tonight. She just said, we have some matches, and one of them is starting now.
I hate this. I hate this as a TV broadcast format. I think if you're going to do this, this is probably actually quite helpful to run as a dark segment before the show gets going. Paige can be the one to come out there and rile up the crowd. You don't have to script it then. You can just say, you know, like, by the way, here's the stories throughout the night. Here's the matches you're going to see. Almost act as a hype person. I don't have as much faith in Kurt Angle to play that role on Raw, but Paige, you know, she's a good promo. She's a great promo, actually. And here she's given the exact same script, it felt like, as Kurt Angle. Ah, man, Backlash was good, wasn't it? She said with a gun to her back. And then, it's Money in the Bank season now. Oh, and a boy, have we got some good matches for you tonight. I'm sorry about the low blow stuff. Didn't see that coming. It's just, it was not Paige's character. And this is not Paige's fault. She did her best. This was not written as a character promo. It was written as a WWE promo. And that is the worst, especially when you've got someone as talented as Paige.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But Paige opened the show and she said that the first match of this... Because I thought this was quite a wrestling-heavy show, and it's one of the reasons I actually quite liked SmackDown this week. I actually really enjoyed it. And we opened with one of our Money in the Bank qualifiers. It was Jeff Hardy, the United States champion, taking on the man who had the best match at Backlash, The Miz.
Oh, I think you're doing it a disservice there by saying just Backlash, Luke. This is an all-time classic.
Oh,
it's
yes.
A match of the year candidate.
Well, actually, Corey Graves said that Seth versus Miz will be a match that fans will be talking about, quote, for years to come.
But only in the context of it was the best thing about a crappy show.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because, like, it was a good match.
Very good.
And I liked the match, but WWE, because they have to hold on to it to get... To distance themselves from the PR mess of how bad Backlash was. You know, they're just zeroing in on the one positive part of the show. It's making me dislike the match.
I'm in the same boat.
The match is now a 3-star match in my head.
I was going to say, like, he when he said for years to come, my first thought was, I don't even think we'll be talking about this next month. And as I said, outside of that context of that was the only good match on that card.
I preferred all three Rollins-Balor matches.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, what can, yeah.
But I thought this was a really fun match. It went through two commercial breaks. There's some cool spots in here, like Jeff doing his run across the barricade to take out Miz, and he did a whisper on the wind off the steps. Really awesome moment when the Miz did like a neck breaker through the ropes.
Yes.
And Hardy cracked his neck on the apron, which looked rough as hell, and it looked really, really cool. And then the finish saw that they got into the ring. Jeff Hardy hit the Twist of Fate, or he hit the Hardiac Arrest first, which is one of the worst punny move names I've heard in recent times. Then hit the Twist of Fate and the Swanton Bomb. But as he got into the pin position, the Miz hoiked him over and got a surprise pin himself.
I love that finish.
I loved it as well. It was a great finish.
I read some people who were down on it because they were like, oh, but, you know, he was just hit by the guy's finisher. How does he have the presence of mind or consciousness to, especially the way Jeff lands on people's lungs, to roll Jeff back from that pinning attempt into a pinning combination of his own. I love this kind of spot. It's the New Japan fan in me, or the Ring of Honor Strong Style fan in me. And it's where one guy will hit you with their finisher and you are effectively knocked out. But you are such a fighter, you have one last Hail Mary and you go for it. And that's, to me, that's what Miz did here. It would have been a lot better if Miz was then, both men were then down for at least a minute afterwards and the crowd can clap. But that isn't what happened. Miz rolled out the ring and started celebrating with his hand up in the air.
Yeah, but he was sat down. It's not like he got up and out of the ring and started parading around. Like,
no, man, he was just hit by a finisher. He should be down and selling that. Like he's knocked out and that was his last
gasp. Yeah, I could buy into that, yeah.
It doesn't play well with me.
Like. Fair enough. But I thought it was a really good match and I thought it was a really, really great finish. We then come backstage.
Can I ask one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Why does Jeff take his top off?
To hit the Swanton.
To hit the Swanton.
It's momentum.
That's what I would say. Because the air resistance.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you create more force when you don't have your nice airy t-shirt on.
I like the way the ladies scream. It was like a very different pitch.
I know. And it's crazy because I remember that audio that from like 18 years ago when Jeff used to do it in every Hardy Boys match in 2000.
And Lita sometimes.
But then you get a very different scream.
Whoa!
Tits! Anyway, backstage, Sheamus is quietly eating Lucky Charms because he's Irish, you see. So he has to be eating...
They were Lucky Charms.
Yeah, he even said, these are Lucky Charms.
Oh, not Boutiers.
No.
Yes, okay.
So he was there eating Lucky Charms because he's Irish. And Cesaro was like, why so glum? And it turns out Sheamus was upset because he lost to Xavier Woods last week. A loss meant something to him. And then there's kind of nice little moment here when Cesaro was like, well, the only reason like you lost is because there's one extra member of the New Day out there. We had the numbers disadvantaged against us. Although if I was in the ring, it would have been a different story. And then Sheamus was like, well, why didn't you have a match with him tonight? And Cesaro more or less proved his own point by winning, but we'll come on to that later.
I enjoyed this. But there was a moment there where I thought, is this a bit of dissension?
Is this foreshadowing to
breaking these two guys up?
Perhaps. But they were very much celebrating like friends later on.
Yes,
it's,
totally.
it's not like when Cesaro won, Sheamus was like, damn.
It was such a small moment. If it pays off at all, it'll be something that happens in months. But then it made me think the possibilities of having a separate Sheamus and Cesaro in that mid-card with Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Really good.
We then got a video package. At the end of that segment, Cesaro opened up his gym bag to reveal that there were pancakes inside of it rather than his actual gear. And Sheamus chuckled at that because Cesaro looked like a fool until he opened up his own gym bag and it was also full of pancakes.
It's the opposite to what you want. You want no carbs.
Exactly.
Especially a lean man like Cesaro.
Absolutely.
It's his worst nightmare.
And apparently Sheamus hates pancakes. We then got a video package for Sanity. Getting Emelina vibes from Sanity at the moment. We're now 5 weeks into their... I think this is the fifth week we've had a Sanity Arrives Soon trailer.
This hasn't grated on me the way Emelina did.
Absolutely not. Well, that was 14 weeks, I remember. I think after a while, they just turned it into a gimmick.
Still no Nikki Storm.
Well, no.
Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think very much she's going to be staying down in NXT with them. But maybe, well, I mean, yeah, they just keep promoting us the three lads, but maybe they'll change their mind by the time Sanity actually debut. One can hope. Backstage, Renee Young tried to interview Shinsuke Nakamura and said that he's not cleared to wrestle because of the ball situation. And then said, so is this situation with AJ sorted? And Shinsuke Nakamura said, no, speak English.
Yes.
Very nice. He's still forgotten how to speak the English language.
And Renee was like, well, we know you can speak English because you used to a lot. And then Nakamura goes, I forgot. And it was really good.
It was great. But then he did actually cut a little bit of a promo in English saying that he is not done with AJ Styles. The feud must continue.
Excuse me.
Carmella cut a cell phone promo about how she beat Charlotte Flair, and she's going to celebrate her win in London next week when they come to the O2 Arena for a royal celebration, because we're English and we're all about the royal family.
Hey, man, I don't mind. I'm fine with just stereotypical nationalistic nonsense when it comes to wrestling, and I'm really looking forward to how ridiculously over the top this segment will be.
I hope they have like mock members of like the royal family,
yes.
Because I actually miss the days when WWE used to put like British stuff on the ramps. You'd have like a taxi cab and a red phone box.
It wasn't there last year.
No, I know. I think they've stopped doing it now because that shows character, and that's not what the company wants to have anymore.
Or it's fallen under the same accounting bracket as pyro.
Yeah, it's just lost in a warehouse somewhere.
All the things she could do. There's a lot of rich stuff to mine here.
Oh, and because it's going to go on a real good heel heat as well, because there are British people who hate these sorts of stereotypes, and they're just going to be really annoyed that she sat in there with tea and you know, and all this sorts of nonsense. Hopefully some scones. And if they have got scones, they better have clotted cream on them if she wants to be truly authentic.
I hope WWE don't think that we will boo Carmella trashing the royal family, because that isn't what will happen.
No, absolutely not.
Sometimes I think an American mindset might be, aha, all the English people love
it's
the royal
telling them this backstage.
They love the royal family, and really, I would argue the majority of us, my grandparents not included, are indifferent to hating.
Yeah, I'd say indifference is a really good, strong word. There are people who are very much into the royal family and sort of like, you know, the rumours and innuendo that surround them. And
just like how we're into backstage wrestling news.
Exactly. Some people are as passionate about the royal family and their relationships and their public appearances as we are about wrestling. And is this person going to defect to this company and what have you? Me, personally, I mean, I'm just annoyed that it's falling on a Saturday this year because we don't get a bank holiday out of it. I just think was just really. I mean, they don't think of the little people.
They don't have to.
No, they don't have to. But I'm having a nice barbecue. Are you doing anything nice for the royal wedding?
When is it? Is it this Saturday or
next
Saturday?
No, it's next Saturday.
I don't have anything planned, but I just found out it was Eurovision. It's Eurovision this Saturday.
It is indeed.
Very much excited for that.
I know, because I'm on a pub crawl.
Are you really?
I'm on a pub crawl, and then I think we're going to go back and watch some Eurovision.
Oh, not! It's not a pub crawl themed Eurovision.
No, it just happens to fall on the same day.
That's unfortunate. I would have crashed it.
Do you remember when I went around to yours to watch Eurovision a couple of
years
ago?
Yes, well, that
I?
Was after Comic Con that year.
It was, yes. I remember.
And we learned how to do the pitch perfect.
The cup thing. Yes, yeah, your housemate taught us that.
I love Eurovision.
anyway, Ty Dillinger cut a cell phone promo about Money in the Bank. He's got a new haircut.
Good hair, I've written in my notes.
Good hair.
Yes.
Naomi also cut a promo saying that Yeah, she says that she won the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, which I genuinely forgot.
The WrestleMania one? Yeah.
Yeah, I actually forgot that.
WWE just make everything feel so special sometimes. Why can't they make those sorts of things feel special rather than The Miz Seth Rollins match?
Maybe. But she said that people will feel the glow. Feel the glow at the moment is now turning into my Over the Moon. It's SmackDown's version of Over the Moon.
Okay.
For me.
You're such a racist.
Such a racist. Next up, we had Charlotte versus Peyton Royce in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. I really liked the Iconics promo when they came out to start off with. Yeah. I mean, shocker. I loved the Iconics cutting a promo.
They're always good. We've said this every week.
Oh, but this was particularly great because this was, again, them falling over themselves for their awful jokes. Billy Kay told a story about her Uncle Craig back in Sydney.
What is it with WWE and relative stories at
but
the moment?
But this one at least feels like an actual made-up member of the family. Yeah. Whereas Bobby Lashley, those stories may not have happened, but those sisters do exist. But she told the story about her Uncle Craig, a man who has never had anything good really happen to him in his life. He's a man who was just always depressed. But he managed to find laughter while watching Backlash when Charlotte Flair lost, and they put the picture up on screen of Charlotte with a very sad face. And then Peyton Royce was like, oh, I can do an impression of this. She tried to do an impression, and Billy Kay was like, no, it's not as good as when Charlotte does it, which I really liked. That was a really nice touch. It's only funny when Charlotte loses.
Unfortunately, the match wasn't good.
Yes, it wasn't as smooth as one might think it is. It was, a little bit choreographed, but, you know.
A lot of chin locks.
I liked it to a degree. Some interference on the outside from Billy Kay. Charlotte did the moonsault, which Royce sort of got her knees up for. And then Charlotte sort of sold it, but then sort of didn't sell. But then a spear by Charlotte for a near fall, and she got the figure eight in and won.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a good match. I didn't really enjoy it, but I like the stuff around it. I just, thank God Charlotte didn't cut a promo.
Who's she going to make magic with next? Oh,
Jesus. One of Bobby Lashley's sisters.
Backstage, Brian talks about... Actually, I mean, do we want to talk about the Bobby Lashley thing? Because I feel like it's actually split opinion a little bit. There are a lot of people in the comments yesterday.
Were there?
There were a lot of people in the comments yesterday who were like, it's character building. It humanizes Bobby Lashley. It was actually a really good thing. I really like the segment.
Where are those people? Well, I'm Googling on air.
Going on to
the comments for yesterday's Wrestle Ramble.
I'm saying, man, there were people there who do think that it was actually a decent promo. I think a lot of people were sort of confused us saying that it's him talking about his sisters is a bad thing over just how awfully scripted the whole thing was. That was more my issue with it than anything else. Actually, it's just a really odd presentation for Bobby Lashley.
The three sisters all sound like WrestleTalk crap gimmicks.
It's very
That's
true.
From Stoned Wolf.
Thank you very much, Stoned Wolf.
Bobby Lashley deserves better. He should go for the IC title. Who else thinks WWE signed Lashley just to bury him for his last run? I mean, that is interesting because of the whole Michael Hayes rumours and Bobby Lashley rumoured to have left on very bad terms with Hayes.
So funny there was a video for that.
Yeah. Someone should check that out. And now he's come back. Michael Hayes is still in a prominent position in the company. Maybe it's the old, let's bring him back and then bury him.
And actually,
whoever came up with Bobby Lashley promo needs to be fired ASAP. Imagine if they did this with Brock Lesnar when he came back. Optimus.
No, when Brock Lesnar came back, they just had him lose to John Cena.
Caleb, creative team needs to change. They have ruined so many characters. So we've got Yo Uncle and Yo Daddy says the important thing about the Lashley segment was the video package. The video package was good.
It was excellent.
But the interview came... Well, it was okay. The interview part came afterwards.
Well, actually, I think
is what you leave on.
I thought the video package did a better job of summing up to the new audience, who might not remember Bobby Lashley from 10 years ago, of who this lad is and why you should care. I thought it did a much better job there than him sitting down and being like, my sister had a blanket.
Everything is going to be better than that. I can not see a single positive thing.
I think if you go by newest first rather than top comments.
Rather than the ones that most people agree with.
Well, I just said there are people in there, and there were people in
you
there.
You said split. I think maybe. No, it's all bad. I can't speed read this fast.
They are in there.
Hey, I like the Bobby Lashley skit.
See, I told you there was someone.
That's from Big Baby Zubus. Yeah. Blocked. Who else? Who else
going
wants to
on
get
a
blocked?
Tear now? Okay. Right. Anyway, we'll come
it
on.
Was just that guy.
Yeah. Okay. There were people who did like it. Actually, I saw some people make an argument. Someone say WWE's aimed at 10-year-olds. Like they have to do segments like this. I'm like, a 10-year-old's not going to care if he has a sister with a blanket. Anyway, Shelton Benjamin also cut a cell phone promo, and so did Asuka.
Oh, we missed out the Daniel Bryan.
Oh yeah.
Bit. We already kind of covered it. He just did an interview backstage with Dasher, and He said that Cass only attacked him because Brian made him tap out. Brian mentions beating Big Show for the title, cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase in 2011 in Baltimore.
Yeah, nice.
Which is where we are right now.
Nice little touch that. He also had a really nice line where he said, the bigger they are, the faster they tap, which was not true in the main event.
And they, he was kind of positioned near a spiral staircase doing some shadow boxing.
Mm.
That's where he did his interview. Just cool. Warming up near
warming
a staircase.
Xavier Woods then had the match that they set up earlier against Cesaro. Really nice spot here where Woods did like a wheelbarrow reversal into a facebuster, which was really, really cool.
The momentum really seemed to drive Cesaro's face into the mat.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like I like things where I'm like, I don't know how you didn't hurt yourself from that.
Yeah. And when you like, you're like, oh man, I hope they show a replay of that so I could try and see how they just did what I just saw them do. Because it was like lightning quick of like flipping around. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, what was it? Sunset flip into a face plant thing.
Yeah,
yeah, it was really very cool. Good.
Sheamus caused distraction a couple of times, and Kofi pushed like some Sheamus's Cesaro's feet was on the ropes. Sheamus caused another distraction, and then Big E threw pancakes at him, and Kofi went to do a big dive.
Elbow. Kofi.
Yeah, big dive. And then as Woods was sitting up to do his springboard elbow, I loved this finish as well. As he came off the springboard, Cesaro just got up, boof, hit him with a massive uppercut, and got the pin off that. Loved that as a finish, because it felt like it was a finish from out of nowhere, as opposed to, I'm going to set you up now and do my finishing move.
Well, that really should be Cesaro's finisher. It's so good, it's impactful. You can hit it on anyone from out of nowhere. It always looks great, and you can sell it as a knockout spot. The days when he doesn't do this so much anymore, but where he would launch people up in the air off an Irish whip, and then when they came down, he'd clobber them with that uppercut.
During that one he did to John Cena, where they'd framed it so much that when he went up, John Cena went out of shot, and there were a lot of people doing like the, I must go now, my planet needs me.
Yes.
John Cena died on the way back to his home planet.
Yeah, really good. But I was excited for this match, because I'm a big fan of both individual guys. It didn't really... It was fine. It wasn't the match that they did. They weren't given the match that they could have.
No, absolutely.
This was just a TV.
It was a TV match, but it was an excellent TV match.
It was a fine TV match.
I thought it was really good. I really liked it, and I really liked the finish as well. Backstage, Renee interviewed AJ Styles and his massive bruise from the chair shot. We didn't actually talk about the chair shot on our Backlash review, but when AJ threw the chair at Nakamura, it bounced off and hit him square in the cheek. And cut him open hard way, and it looked like it absolutely sucked. And now it's really grown into this massive bruise.
I bet that really hurt.
Oh, I bet that hurt.
Like when people walk around with, I've got these big chop marks on my chest or thumbtacks in my back. I'm like, but I feel you there, AJ, with that cheekbone.
Imagine you're sleeping, because you have to sleep on the other side, obviously. But what if you roll over in the night, not realise, and then you wake up in the morning and go like, oh, man, my face really aches now.
It's going to wake you up. And 18's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
How depressing is this? Smiling might also be a problem.
Finn Balor could not suffer. He could not have this injury. He would not last.
AJ can't have fun right now because of his little bruisey boo-boo. Poor Styles.
But anyway, Styles said that he wants to also have a match with Nakamura, and he says he'll have any sort of match at any time and any place, because while he is the king of strong style, it's the house that AJ Styles built.
I want to hear what you have to say on this next segment.
Right, okay. So the camera cut to this sort of like ominous music and sounds, and like little girls going like and like making like scary noises. Like,
didn't
like,
see them.
Like, you know, you don't see them because it's meant to be like a Nightmare on Elm Street style movie, and they're in this sort of like orange boiler room place thing, and they start panning across all of these WWE action figures that have been burnt and melted, including one of them, which was Big E holding the head of Kofi Kingston, and like it's all melted. And they panned across, and the Gallanderson were all melted, and the bar were all melted, and the Usos hats were all torn up, because I guess they don't have action figures at the moment. And then it panned up, and the Bludgeon Brothers were standing there with their cool looking masks on, and the music was all ominous, and the girls giggling was really creepy, and I thought, what a really effective segment. And then they took their masks off and said some words, and I was like, nope, that's very hokey.
They said, come play with us.
Yeah, we've got toys of our own, come play with us. And I was like, oh man, you were so close to having like just having that right then.
And then smash the camera.
Yeah.
I did not mind this, actually. I thought it was, you know, if you've got this gimmick, I don't see why this is the step too far.
I just thought everything in the presentation previously was fine. It was just the line. It was the line didn't work for me.
But I quite like play with us.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. Absolutely, I didn't hate it.
If I was doing this, if I was in charge of WWE, I would have found some way to make this some kind of advert, just to shift more action figures.
Yeah, WWE elite sponsors. You can burn them and be scary like these guys. It did make me think though that of those, that was essentially they'd burnt the entire tag team division, despite the fact they've not beaten Gallanderson on TV.
Oh yeah, they haven't been around.
They had that one segment with AJ Styles and haven't been seen since.
Oh, it's still recovering from the bullet he took.
Oh, of
Carl Anderson.
Yes.
And the next segment, also excited to hear your thoughts on.
Oh, wait, hang on, I haven't finished my point yet.
Oh, okay.
There was one team that they didn't have within their action figure segment, maybe because they also don't have action figures. Sanity.
Mm.
So maybe that's like they were essentially laying out an open challenge for the tag team division. This could be your debut of Sanity straight into a tag team title program.
Oh, I don't know if that's the right way to do them.
Mm.
Like, you know, straight into a title feud. They're a three-man faction. A starter feud with New Day. Because if you immediately go for Sanity versus Bludgeon Brothers, two quite similar gimmicks, you're going to have to beat one of them eventually. So why would you do that? Bludgeon Brothers shouldn't be beaten or lose the title anytime soon. They only just won it a month ago. And Sanity should have a good unbeaten run to kick things off.
Yep.
And that's the sort of thing where you can keep these two factions side by side, far away from each other, ships passing in the night, and you build to something, maybe at SummerSlam.
I would argue they're not similar gimmicks, but yeah, I see your point.
Well, compared to everyone else's, they do fit within a creepy, grungy...
Mm-hmm.
There are similarities. They are in...
They have beards.
Yeah, they have beards. There you go.
Yeah. Backstage, we saw Mandy Rose was getting ready for her match with Becky Lynch, with Sonya Deville by her side. And then, the way that this was framed, the way this was shot, Mandy Rose was like, cool, I'm going to have a match now. And Sonya Deville went, sweet, off you pop. And then Paige walked in, and she was like, guys, I told you, Absolution's dead. And they were like, yeah, as a three unit, but we're a tag team, we're sticking together. And Paige said, well, actually, Sonya Deville, you are barred from ringside. I was like, well, I don't think she was going to ringside with her anyway, but fair enough, she was pretty peeved about it. And then we got Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose in a match that had a longer introduction for Mandy Rose than an actual match itself. I think you want to talk about Mandy Rose's entrance more than anything.
No, I don't really care. I was only saying that to rile you up. Outside,
because Becky lost.
Because Becky lost quite quickly. Corey Graves certainly enjoyed the entrance.
Oh, yeah, he's like playing his inner Jerry Lawler was Corey Graves, because he didn't want people talking over Mandy Rose making an entrance, because it's hard to concentrate on masturbating when you've got Byron Saxton in your ears talking about something else.
Got to focus on that malibation.
You've got to focus on something else.
I love Corey. I think he's been superb in recent months. But maybe it's just because I feel a bit frustrated with WWE overall at the moment. He's gone on my nerves a bit this week, and at Backlash.
Is it just the Rollins-Miz thing?
It's
a combination of things.
It's the Wyatt, the Woken Wyatt stuff as well. Him bickering with Cole, the Elias stuff. Here, I get what he was trying to do, but it irked me where usually it wouldn't.
I think the best thing for Corey really would be being on one show. I think him being across both shows has really harmed Corey in some way, because then he has to commentate on every single match on pay-per-view as well. And like at WrestleMania, he was in every single match. And I just feel that when you hear the same voice all the time, sharing the same opinions, it can get slightly grating. And I think a call-up, a replacement for Corey Graves on SmackDown would benefit Corey.
Yeah, it has to be a good replacement, though, because I would much prefer Corey Graves over a lot of the other announcing talent they
have. Absolutely, yeah, but Nigel.
Yes, Nigel or Moro, of course.
Yeah. But anyway, so Paige told Baby Girl that she's not allowed to go to ringside. And then Mandy Rose did make her very, very long and elaborate entrance, it's so long, she can't keep doing this every week. And the music is pretty horrendous.
Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon were like, this is it, this is the star. Okay, Roman Reigns hasn't worked, but this one, surely. She's blonde, she's beautiful. People are going to love her right away, right? Different time, guys.
Yeah,
but anyway, to be able to wrestle.
I was going to say they sort of had a match. I mean, I've written here Rose doesn't really do a move, but stacks Becky up anyway and wins.
Mm.
Like I don't
very sure.
I think Todd said that Becky like she necked herself on the top rope when she came off the kick. Because she did like her little springboard kick thing that she does. And apparently Rose pushed her and she necked herself and that's what she got pinned off. But I'm pretty sure Becky just landed fine on her feet and then got rolled up.
Yeah, it was lame.
It was lame.
It was a lame match and it was a lame finish because Becky Lynch has so much more mileage than Mandy Rose does
right.
as a promo and as a wrestler.
But the storyline they are telling with Becky Lynch is that she needs to rebuild her character because right. she has been treading water now for 18 months and she hasn't done anything. So it's these sort of losses that she needs to be like, oh, I need to do something with myself. You know, when she lost, when she was teaming with Asuka, it's all building up from these sorts of things. So actually, her losing to Mandy Rose doesn't bother me because it's a storyline thing that they're doing as opposed to they're just burying Becky Lynch because they want to get Mandy Rose over.
Okay. Well, I guess so. I don't feel like that story was told well then.
Certainly not with that finish.
In this episode. So Mandy's entrance.
We should go back to that.
So they've done the old... I don't know if this was just my feed that I was watching it on, but they have done the old blur the edges trick, like where you would smudge Vaseline on a camera back in the 40s and 30s to make women appear more attractive. Sort of gets over the wrinkles and stuff.
I'm not saying they didn't do it, but I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's like notice. Her in the center, she was in focus, but the peripheral bits were smudged. Of course, it draws the eye towards the focus part, and it does harken back to those classical Hollywood cinema shots of the dames of that era.
My only note I really had about her entrance was like, get on with it. For God's sake, just get to the ring. She walks, stops. Like, just get on with it, lad.
And the music, is pretty generic pop music, but bad.
It's like Kelly's entrance music, which is among one of the worst themes ever. Oh, God,
I got a Pavlovian sort of contort
or
there.
Or Eve Torres' music was awful as well. That was really bad. That was just like, dreadful shite.
But then after, I don't know, 20 minutes, it seemed, of her entrance, Lana's saxophone kicks in.
It's
just a bit weird.
I was going to say, now that Lana's not doing any wrestling anymore, they were like, well, we've got this music and we've got this gimmick. Let's just give it to Mandy Rose instead.
It wasn't the exact same.
No, it wasn't.
It was the same instrument, so I can't say that. So pretty rubbish.
Andrade Cien Almas is making his debut on SmackDown Live next week. They announced the three things that are happening on SmackDown Live next week. We're getting the Almas debut. As I've noted in the SmackDown review, Jeff Hardy currently doesn't have a feud at the moment, so that's something you can easily slot yourself into. We are getting the Royal Melibration, and the New Day and the Bar are taking each other on in a tag team match.
That could be great.
And the winner gets to choose a member of their team to go into Money in the Bank.
Ah, cool. I missed that. That's a cool stipulation.
It's a cool stipulation, yeah.
Because the New Day will be fine, but surely Sheamus and Cesaro will want that spot if they win.
Exactly. So maybe that does tie into what you were saying earlier about this perhaps dissension. Thank you. I knew you said detention. Dissension in the ranks between the two.
But let's be honest. It's going to be Kofi.
Oh,
because it's a ladder match.
Yeah, if New Day win, Kofi is going into it.
Which is a shame, because I love Xavier Woods.
He's had two pretty
decent matches in the last 2 weeks. I think he could be, like how we were talking about how Chad Gable could be Raw's underdog guy to hopefully make a star in the men's Money in the Bank match. Xavier could be that breakout star from SmackDown's side.
I absolutely agree. But our main event was another Money in the Bank qualifying match. Much like Raw, a lot of the matches, in fact, all the matches, kind of had these Money in the Bank connotations. And if they weren't Money in the Bank qualifiers, it was like, we need to do something to impress the GM so we can get a Money in the Bank qualifying match and all the promos and et cetera. The only thing they did that was different was the AJ Nakamura stuff. That was the only thing that wasn't Money in the Bank specific match, at least, pay-per-view different. So the main event was Daniel Bryan versus Rusev in a qualifying match. I thought this was a really decent main event.
I thought it was a
really,
good main
really,
event.
Really good. Really enjoyed this because do you know who's amazing? Daniel Bryan. Like, he's just great. So good. So fun to watch.
I've written here in my notes, it was like 3-4 minutes into the match, and I just sometimes I forget because it's been a month now, and then just 4 minutes in, I remembered Brian's wrestling again. This is so great. I've missed him so much. I love him. I love him. I love him. And just the way he moves, just seeing him wrestle makes me happy. So that's very supremely cool.
I completely agree. So this did go through a commercial break, but there's some really, really nice spots in this. And as we said, Rusev had sort of hurt his wrist earlier in the match. He couldn't quite lock in the accolade, which Brian then transitioned into a yes lock, but he was too close to the ropes. So Rusev rolled to the outside, and Brian did a drop kick through the ropes onto both men. And then it did a huge running knee off the apron, which looked absolutely awesome. Then his awesome top rope drop kick. He sets up for the knee again, but Rusev just powers him up with a knee of his own. And then hit the match kick and won. When it finished, really did come out of nowhere.
Well, Brian was selling his ribs slightly, wasn't he? Mm. After that top rope drop kick. And that was, in my head, that was feeling the effects of the big cast beatdown that wasn't substantial enough to... considering everything else that's happened in WWE in recent months, like, you need a bit more of a beatdown for someone to sell it 2 days afterwards.
I was going to say, remember when people were getting like stretcher jobs and then coming out on yes. Raw the next week? Absolutely fine and dandy.
Very but I thought frustrating.
I thought it was a really good match. The finishes came out of nowhere and truly surprised me.
Yeah, really shocking. So overall, I like most SmackDowns recently, I really enjoyed this show.
Yeah.
And the one, I know there were a few duds. All the women's stuff was duds, I thought, but all the men's stuff was really, really good. And I'm very intrigued about Brian and Rusev. Not Rusev, but where Brian goes from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and an interesting choices from SmackDown. You've got Miz and Rusev now in the Money in the Bank match, and perhaps one member of the New Day or either Sheamus and Cesaro. I'd imagine it'll probably be the New Day, and you're right, it's probably going to be Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, it's not like the top tier stars, which is good. Like you kind of want to Money in the Bank to make new stars. And yeah, shocking that Jeff Hardy isn't in a ladder match.
No, well, I imagine he's either going into a feud with Andrade Cien Almas, that's my hope, or his feud with Randy Orton must continue.
The Almas debut next week is very interesting because London, smarter crowd, should get a huge reaction.
He will get a massive pop. And I imagine he's going to get absolute... I mean, he's a man with... well, certainly with one 5-star match to his name this year alone. And I think his Aleister Black one was 4.5, I think. If it wasn't 5, I'm not sure. But yeah, so he's coming off, you know, back of a very good 2018 thus far.
He was a great champion in NXT. Mm. In NXT.
Certainly
and
was.
WWE must be, like, have high hopes for the guy if they're saving his debut for somewhere where hopefully he'll get an even bigger reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll be a huge babyface reaction, I presume. And he's a heel.
Yeah.
So, oh God, maybe they'll just tease it and say, no, we're not doing it.
The heat you get, though, that'd be quite good. I'd kind of like that.
Yeah, but we might be there, so I want
to see him.
Yeah, I don't want to be worked. Brother, so what did you give this?
I gave it smacktastic. I thought it was a wrestling heavy show. I thought it told a really nice story throughout the show, all built around Money in the Bank and the importance of winning Money in the Bank, more importantly, and how, like, it's you want to be in that ladder match because you can become a champion. Todd Phillips said that 16 out of the 19 people who've won Money in the Bank have won championships off the back of it. So that's a really, really important thing to have. And so I like that aspect of it.
Who are the failed cash-ins? Damian Sandow,
Baron Corbin. And Cena.
Oh, did Cena not do one?
Yes, well, no, yes. So Cena cashed in, but he cashed his in saying, like, I will have a match with you at this point, and then he lost that match. I think it was against Punk.
What was your bottom SmackDown review this week?
Bobby Lashley face.
Yes, great. I was hoping. Bobby Lashley and his three sisters. I would give this a pretty solid smack bang in the middle.
I think smack bang in the middle seems unfair, only because I really like the main event. Well, personally, I really like the main event and I really like the opener. And I thought all the stuff in the middle was always... Like, nothing in the show was demonstrously bad.
I'd say the Mandy Rose, Becky Lynch stuff was.
No, but I like the Becky Lynch storyline. I could see that they did that as because it's furthering on a story. So that
I'm only saying it's smack, but I'm not saying it's like a bad show.
No,
but it's smack bang in the middle. I like the wrestling, but it was fine TV wrestling for me. It wasn't like a standout match that we'll be talking about a few weeks down the line, like a Rollins on Raw match.
Yeah, okay.
And the women's stuff was pretty garbage, I thought. So yeah, smack bang in the middle. It's an average show.
That's good
for WWE. It was an enjoyably average show.
I was going to say, smack bang in the middle for me is of like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was fine. But I thought this was more than fine. With your spoon first.
Okay. You ready for this?
Yes.
And this was brought about because we just read an iTunes review off mic that said, I came here for the spoon chat, but it has been grossly inconsistent.
And if there's one word that we do not like around here,
I know.
It's inconsistent.
I mean, ironically, it cut like a knife. That criticism. Okay, so the ice, this is according to Wikipedia, this is a type of spoon. The ice cream fork, sometimes called a spork. This implement has a bowl like a teaspoon, with the point made into three stubby tines that dig easily into frozen ice cream.
Is that what a spork's for?
Well, it's meant for many things, but yeah. I guess its proper version is... I'm going to click... It's because spork is highlighted. Yeah. Designs for the spork date back to at least 1874.
Get out of here.
Wow.
Wow.
They didn't even have frozen yogurt back then.
Speaking of going back in time, did you hear what, like, the biggest news to come out of Cannes already? I mean, they may as well just, like, stop doing Cannes now, because they're not going to get any news that's bigger than this.
Is it totally, totally awesome and rad?
It is totally awesome and rad, actually. Bill and Ted 3... has got its budget, and they're in pre-production on it, man. Like, what more can Cannes bring you other than, hey, MGM have managed to sort out the stuff with Orion, and they've got the money together, and we're getting Bill and Ted Face the Music.
I bet Cannes loves those sorts of announcements. Well, as they're noshing off Jean-Luc Godard.
Have you heard they banned Netflix this year?
God, they're such pretentious gits. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
I'm a Francophile. I did a lot of my theses I didn't do multiple theses. I did a lot of my essays on French cinema.
Mm. Yes.
But good grief, they are up their own ass.
Yeah, they've banned Netflix this year because their ruling is that a film has to be shown in a French cinema in order for it to... be able to be shown at Cannes.
Way to democratize the filmmaking process, dickwads.
Anywho, do you want to hear this iTunes review follow-up?
No.
So this is from Michael van der Kolk, who emailed in. He didn't email in. He left us an iTunes review yesterday. Do you want to see if you can find the iTunes review?
Yeah, it's close by. So do you want me to recap it?
Recap it.
Okay, so this was left on the 6th of April. From Mike Vandy, or Mike van der Kolk, as his full name is. Greetings from Indiana. I don't remember when I found Ollie on YouTube, but I know WrestleTalk quickly became my go-to source for professional wrestling news and opinions. I was hesitant when Luke jumped on board, but he too has grown on me. Now I can't imagine WrestleTalk without him. I've been a pod swafter since episode 1, and I suggest Wrestle Ramble to anyone seeking a new podcast. I even suggested it to a cute classmate who likely isn't a wrestling fan, and I'm sure she is questioning my interests. So that's the important part.
So that's where we were on April 6th, 2018, last month. This is from, 13 hours ago I received this email. Good morning to you, Ollie and Luke. I must say I was rather surprised to hear you read my review during the Raw review. Lately, I've been listening to the show while operating the public address system at local baseball games, and I nearly laughed over the speakers while announcing a batter. That said, any further attempt at making moves with my former classmate ended quickly as I discovered she had gotten married within the past year.
What a cow!
I'm not sure if she ever took my advice to listen to the show, but I can do my best to follow up with her. Maybe my suggestion and your show helped create a new fan. Either that or your new service of Agony Aunt, if I heard you correctly, it's Agony Aunt as in auntie, will benefit those looking or at least provide enough humour to get them through it. Thanks again, all you... Thanks again for all you two... and the rest of the team do for us fans, the consistency of your content and your ability to remain relatable makes you an enjoyable experience as a member of the Swaft Nation. Take care, Michael van der Kolk. So unfortunately, she was married.
So two takeaways there. Firstly, agony aunt isn't a thing that travels over the pond.
Oh, yes.
That must be a British saying.
Yeah, absolutely, it must be.
If Mikey didn't recognise that and thought it was agony aunt.
Yeah, I mean, there are agony aunts a lot in newspapers here in the UK. They have their own sort of segment at towards the back of a newspaper, usually tabloids.
Yeah.
And it'll be things like, my wife keeps putting the DVDs into the wrong cases and then won't have sex with me. What do I do?
Mm.
And then the agony aunt will give a reply.
We'll say, the fact that you have conflated those two issues as potentially causal, then I can't help you. the ones I used to read, because my family used to get your favourite newspaper, The Sun.
Don't buy The Sun.
Were quite saucy. Because it was effectively a softcore porn publication. And it would always be based on a threesome. And it would always be fulfilling someone's fantasy. These were completely made up. But it would always be fulfilling a fantasy. And then following through the ramifications on it. They slept together, but now my wife and this other lady, I think they're seeing each other. What should I do? That they wrote, peering through a wardrobe from the inside.
Do you know the Twitter profile, That Didn't Happen Awards of the year?
No.
So it is a Twitter profile but you know when people say this just happened in my local pub, and then they tell the story. Basically, they just quote that, which is that didn't happen. It's very good.
People saying that the Bobby Lashley segment was good.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Didn't happen. sorry, the other takeaway from that,
yes,
that email from Mikey was, I'm concerned about how he said follow up. Was that followed up on trying to pursue a married woman?
No.
Or is it if she listened to the podcast?
It's the latter. Yeah, it's just okay. Because they might be friends on Facebook. Because that's what happens when you have classmates. I'm still friends with people I went to university with. I haven't spoken to them for 12 years because I didn't really speak to them at the time either because I was a bit of an outcast at university. But maybe he's friends with them on Facebook. And so you could just send him a message and be like, hey, so did you ever check out that Wrestle Ramble podcast I suggested?
By the way, how are things with Mr. So-and-so?
Yeah, I hear they're bad. Just give it a shot.
I don't know
where I heard this, but I hear they're bad.
Yeah, I think I saw him out with Karen. You know Karen.
Yeah.
The lady with the low-cut dresses down at the local bar.
Yeah, you don't know her, yeah.
And then send the heart emoji and the chimp with the hands over the eyes.
And you can expect more great advice like this if you send us in your problems to luke@wrestletalk.com.
Luke and Ollie, agony aunt. Another problem solved.
Although I do like agony arts.
Agony arts.
Agony arts.
It's an art form, the martial
yes,
arts.
Yes, there you go.
It's the agony arts. The mystic arts.
The mystic arts.
The dark arts.
The mystic arts of solving problems. We are the agony arts.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, Michael.
We are agony artists. This is a bloody crap gimmick in the making.
Oh, isn't it?
The agony artists.
Oh, absolutely. I was surprised, actually. I didn't get as many suggestions in for the crap gimmick based on a moon as I thought we would do yesterday.
Did we get any? I forgot we asked.
We did get a couple, but not as many as I thought I was going to get. But anyway...
You're not going to go through them?
No, well, that's safe for the crap gimmick.
A Saturday thing, Luke.
Saturday thing.
What? How difficult? We've done this for a year.
I know. It's a new format, though, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I'm just going to do one iTunes review. From Jaron Walker, the most consistently listenable wrestling podcast.
Do you know
Thank
what I like
already,
about that?
Jaron.
Do you know what I like about that? It's consistently listenable. Not good, but it's listenable. That is, that's perfect.
Yeah.
We are 3-star content.
I love that. Listenable, and as people who've listened to the WrestleMania X7 review will know, how much we loved Wade Keller of the PW Torch's review of every match on the show. Watchable.
I loved it. I checked out Brian Alvarez's review of Backlash.
Oh, Christ.
When talking about the Randy Orton Jeff Hardy match. And he said, it's the best 5-star, 2-star match I've ever seen. It was just perfect. There was not a spot out of place for a 2-star match.
Brian goes through waves of being too negative and then being too negative, but it's awesome.
Yes.
And I feel like he's in that stage at the moment, because there was like a bit last year where it was like, you're just down on everything for no reason. But I think because the WWE have caught up, WWE have become as crap as Brian Alvarez thinks they are. And this is a good bit of synergy.
Maybe. Mm. Although he did hate Backlash. Him and Vinny had a proper old moan about it.
We all didn't. Nobody liked it.
To them, it was not watchable.
Mm. So back to Jaron.
Oh, sorry, yes.
There are some podcasts out there that lack the energy, knowledge, and charisma that is necessary to keep the listener engaged. This podcast is not one of them. Ollie and Luke's difference in opinions makes for an interesting conversation and makes you think differently about certain aspects of wrestling. Luke never answers my emails, but that has nothing to do with this podcast. So 5 stars. What are you doing, Luke?
I don't know. What was his name?
Jaron Walker.
Jaron, how are you
spelling? J-A-R-R-E-N.
E-N.
Jaron?
It sent me one, which was Movies as Weird as Mania, which I'm almost certain we read out.
Yeah, we did all of those, didn't
we? I'm pretty sure we did all of those.
What were his...
Oh, no, he was the one who suggested Old Boy.
Oh, and that it isn't anything like Old Boy.
Yeah, the most recent one. As in, like, that's a movie that's as crazy as WrestleMania.
Okay. But I would say Old Boy's craziness makes sense.
Yeah, that was my thinking too as well.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Jaron. Anyway, that's all we've got time for today, but we will be back on Saturday, or Friday if you're Luke, with the Wrestle Ramble sort of magazine show. Crap gimmicks, mailbag, news. It's all in there.
Love it, love it, love it. We don't even record it on a Friday. We record it on a Thursday. We're recording it tomorrow.
You're wrong twice.
And I will see you then. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.